Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
He's homered. Derek Jeter homers to tie the game. And there it is, hit number 3,000.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
That line falls on the right, babe.
Oh, yes, it does.
Not that Maggie. Back in town. Look out,
that one felt good.
Chris McMahon.
Sports Radio 101.9.
Let's see how the yes sir goes.
Yeah.
Me.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. How we doing on this Monday morning? 202 on the Fan. 888-808-1019. That's the number. We'll be taking your calls all the way to 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. Rami Lobby on the other side. And we got you here for 3 hours, as we do most days, especially on Monday. And what a Monday it is. So much to react to. Where do I go first? I don't know. Let's start with the football. We'll get to the Mets and just their... Despite the loss, the craziness that continues with the Mets, the likes of which we have never seen. A disappointing loss, no doubt. They're always disappointing. But ultimately, they took one in Philadelphia, and they'll move on to come back home for the first time, and I think it's 3 months. But let's start with the football here, and we'll get to the baseball. But my God, if it wasn't the good... The bad and the ugly. And the Jets were both the bad and the ugly. But you know what? It's a positive day. I want to be positive. Let's start with the Giants just for a second, because I'll tell you what right now. That game, heading into that spot, without neighbors, without Singletary, going into a very difficult place to play against the Seattle team, that's one of, or we thought, the better teams in the NFC. A team that kicked the crap out of the Giants last year, and Daniel Jones. And to head into that building and play the way they played, let me just tell you something right now. That is a performance that has me believing in the combination of Brian Daboll and Daniel Jones. Right? That's the kind of performance, especially from the head coach. Because honestly, heading into that spot off of the brutal loss against the Cowboys... To go into Seattle, a place that's notoriously tough to play without your best players. And I was concerned about what this offense was going to look like. I was concerned about how this team was going to respond, going down 1-3, losing their best player, and having to go play a very difficult game. And you know what I loved about it, first off, first and foremost, and I was talking about this with Lori in the newsroom. When you're off a week and a half, when you have that extra time to prepare, you're supposed to look like a football team with a plan. It's supposed to look like what the Giants showed you. And man, did they ever look like a team with a plan. And not only that, resilient. To come off of that fumble, the great fumble at the end zone, which again, I've watched it a million times. It looks like he crosses the plane before the fumble, whatever the case may be. This game isn't even relatively close, if not for that play. And the way the Giants respond off a 14-point swing, and the way Daniel Jones played this game and the way the game was called and the ability after, you know, the start of the season and watching neighbors become what we've seen him become and seeing Daniel Jones rely on him as much as we've seen Daniel Jones rely on him and all the targets and all the throws and every big spot. And sure, Wendell Robinson has played well. And he's had some moments inside the game, but it's been so important to get neighbors going. To have Daniel Jones finally have a number one receiver and to head into this game without him and to be able to distribute the football and actually use the tight ends and have, you know, Tyrone Tracy step up and run the football the way he ran the football and have the game plan from this coaching staff, to have the defense who now leads the NFL in sacks. I thought this was supposed to be a vanilla defense, a defense that doesn't take chances, a bend but don't break defense. Instead, you've got Dexter Lawrence, who's playing like the best tackle in the NFL, getting after the quarterback. You're blitzing. You're getting home with Burns. You're getting home with Thibodeau a little bit. You're getting home, clearly, with Dexter Lawrence. But you're throwing creative blitz. They didn't know how to respond, the Seattle team, to start the game. And yes, ultimately, the Giants could have done what the Giants do. And they're a blocked field goal away and a great play from Simmons from possibly going to overtime, and I don't know what would have happened, okay? But to me, still at 1-3, it's not even about the wins and losses necessarily. It's about how they're playing the game. And Daniel Jones, for all of my takes on Daniel Jones and everything I've said about him, and I still don't, like, some of my core beliefs on Daniel Jones aren't going to change off of 1 week. They aren't even going to change off of the last 3 weeks where he's played relatively well. Last week, he could not hit the deep pass. And he said one of the more dumb things, or one of the more confounding things I've ever heard. He acted last week like he was Goldilocks. And talking about the deep balls, he said, well, last week, I overthrew it. So this week, I thought, well, maybe I'll underthrow it, because I don't want to overthrow it. So it was like, oh, I overthrew it 1 week. I figured, why not try the underthrow and see what happens? Well, today he found the bed that fit just right, because he hit Slayton for the touchdown, obviously. He had Slayton down the sidelines on a perfect throw. Daniel Jones not only made the throws, and Daniel Jones not only has continued to show his athleticism, even coming off the knee injury, which is no more of a problem for me. That's a thing of the past. Other than his ability to possibly get hurt again, it's not hampering him really in any way. But Daniel Jones's toughness, and even while I was killing Daniel Jones, and I'm sure there will come a time where I kill him again, but he's been really good despite missing throws last week. This game against Seattle, not only does he make all the throws, not only does he spread the football around, but man, if he isn't a tough son of a gun who puts his shoulder down and doesn't shy from contact, it's probably part of the reason he's dealing with a blown out knee. It's probably part of the reason he's been dealing with a neck injury over the last 3 years. And it's probably not smart. But what it shows me is this son of a gun is tough. And that's how the Giants played yesterday. The Giants went into a football game after an ugly loss to Dallas, where they had every opportunity to win a game and continue to shoot themselves in the foot, the same way they did against Washington, the same way they've done like over the last 2 years, almost on every Sunday. And they came out against a team who needs this game, a team who's playing in a tough division and had an opportunity to go 4-1, and the Giants absolutely went in there and dominated this football game, dominated it physically. And unfortunately, mistakes, that big turnover at the goal line, led it to be a lot closer than it was, and there was an opportunity to blow this game at the end. But this Giants team showed resilience. This Giants team showed that Brian Daboll is a legitimate head coach. And I think that's been important here, because he's been under the microscope. And we've talked about whether or not he's on the hot seat, and I felt like he was on the hot seat at some point this year. I don't think he would ever get fired midseason, but I thought this was a big year for him. And I didn't think it was just a fait accompli that, you know, he's got reassurance from the owner and why they don't want to make decisions like this. They don't want to constantly have change inside the GM and head coaching room. But ultimately, if the offense continued to look like it did last year, if it continued to look like it did week one against the Minnesota Vikings, it was going to be a problem. But they came out in this game. The offensive line has really done a nice job pass protecting. Tracy looked every bit as good as Singletary, if not better. Ran the ball hard, can be dynamic in the passing game as a converted wide receiver from college. And the play calling and the ability to move the ball and these long sustaining drives where the first half, the time of possession is ridiculous. Seattle barely on the field. They were able to shut down the run game, get after the quarterback, get home 7 times. They lead the NFL in sacks. They're creating a culture here. We talk about finding an identity with these teams, right? We don't know what the Giants' identity is because of the quarterback situation and mainly the injuries. because of the inability to block at the offensive line, because of the inability to have a wide receiver who can make plays, because of the lack of talent on the defensive front, or on the defensive side of the ball, in the defensive backfield. The defensive front actually does have some talent. But there's really been an inability to define what this team does well and to define who they are. And right now, they're making it easy. Right now, they get after the quarterback. Number one. That's the number one identity. They are getting after the quarterback. And number two, their quarterback is tough. And when Malik Nabers is out there, you have someone you can count on as the number one wide receiver that he can go to. And if not, you've got Wandale Robinson who can run the route, be shifty, make people miss. When he runs, you know, sometimes he's frustrating with how he runs routes short of the stick, but he's able to make people miss. He's shifty enough to get first downs. And we see Slayton even, like Hyatt, forget about him. I mean, Hyatt's in a situation where he should come in and be dominant in this football game, or at least have an opportunity to make some plays. We don't see him. But Slayton has shown you the ability and the connection with this quarterback. Wandale Robinson has shown you. And right now, if you look at it, the what this team does good and the identity of this team is they get after the quarterback. And right now, the quarterback is playing smart inside the offense and taking some chances down the field. This was the first game. As well as we could say Daniel Jones has played in prior weeks. And he has, right? He's been accurate. The completion percentage has been really good. For the most part, in my mind, he played just well enough to lose some football games. And yes, it was dangerous in the idea that it could have possibly happened again yesterday. But ultimately, he made the plays down the field. He was down his guy. They were down a running back. They were going to a very difficult place to play. And instead, offensively, the offensive game plan was very good. He not only was he accurate, but he was accurate down the field for the first time this year. They get after the quarterback, and they shut down this run game for Seattle, and they made it very difficult for Geno Smith. And that is a good win on the road, having to overcome a 14-point swing at the goal line. That is a very good performance from this Giant team. And you're starting to wonder now, forget the hot seat and this coach. You're starting to really wonder if they continue to play like this. Now, I don't know if they're going to compete for a postseason spot. The division's tough. Washington with Daniels looks like a legitimate force inside the NFC. The Cowboys with a big win last night, despite not playing overly well against Pittsburgh. And Philadelphia, even though they have issues, you know how talented they are. I don't know where they are inside this division. I don't think they're a Super Bowl contender. I don't know if they're even a playoff contender at the moment. But what I do know is they got off the deck. And this coach looks like he's a legitimate head coach again. And it looks like right now the quarterback is playing well enough where you can envision a future with these two. I don't know how we'll feel about it. I still have concerns about him staying healthy. I still don't love the contract. But if they play like this, you might envision a future with the two of them tied at the hip. Instead of begging, which I have, begging for this coach to finally get a young quarterback and be able to develop him like he developed Josh Allen out in Buffalo. Yesterday was the first real day, and it's led up by playing well over the last few weeks, but yesterday was the first real day where it felt like maybe, just maybe, there is a future for these two tagged together as quarterback and coach, because we know how important it is. It's owner, it's GM, it's quarterback, it's coach. It's the four staples of your franchise. And there's been a lot of questions over the last few years about the ownership. There's been a lot of questions about this GM. There's been a lot of questions about the coach, and forget it about the quarterback. And right now, it feels like at least those last two in this game make me think there's an actual future with the two of them. And then we get to the ugly and the New York Jets. And I got to it second because I don't like yelling early out. I want to get my throat into form before I go nuts on what is an impossible team to watch. And listen, I know we're going to talk about the coach, and the coach is terrible. All right, I'm not saying he's not. Right, going into the season, we knew this coach was going to be the biggest question mark of this team, right? The offensive line, sure. Some other things, sure. Aaron Rodgers' health, sure, which is clearly a question now. But everyone went in saying the coach is going to drag them down. And while I've seen no evidence that that's not the case, we've seen the penalties forever. We saw the defensive penalties. Now, look, some of them are just ridiculous. And Jefferson gets every, you can't go near him without getting a penalty. I understand that. But still, too many penalties. We saw a delay a game in this game as well. They're a sloppy football team, no doubt. The coach has done absolutely nothing to make me feel any better about him than we did heading into the season. Any question mark that I still had, and I tried to say that, I don't know about Saleh. Well, he's doing nothing to make me feel like we're getting any sort of answer in the positive. Now, having said that, I put less blame on him than I do the quarterback and Hackett. I'm sorry. The defense, which is the coach right now, and we can argue about the dynamic that the Jets have set up. It's a fair question, and we can have that discussion. But here's the dynamic of the New York Jets. You've got Robert Saleh as the de facto head coach, but ultimately the leader of the defense. That's what he is. And I know they said on the broadcast, he made a point to be in every single quarterback room. Yeah, okay. He's in the quarterback room. Great. He's watching film with the quarterbacks. We know who the leader of the offense is. The leader of the offense is Aaron Rodgers and Nathaniel Hackett. That's the dynamic of the team. You want to blame clock management at the end of games, which there's certainly been an issue. Head coach, you want to blame the overabundance of penalties, considering it's been a problem for the last handful of years? Let's blame the coach. But if you want to talk about Aaron Rodgers and how this offense functions and how it looks to pretty much start every single game other than maybe the Patriot game, which looks like a cruel joke right now. That shining moment that we talked about where Evan opened the show talking about pinch me, where we couldn't believe it. We were talking, beating the Patriots. I know they're bad, but finally beating the Patriots and watching Rodgers play like that and watching that offense function like that. And you felt like they're going to build on this. And instead, that feels like a cruel joke that you're never going to see again. And there were things I thought you might see from Rodgers, and then there were things I thought were guarantees with Rodgers, even at 40 years old. Is it like he's as inaccurate as I've ever seen him? I didn't see that coming. Could I see him hobbling around? Yeah. Could I see him having leg issues? He's clearly having. Sure. Could I see him not be able to do some of the great things he used to do? Be able to throw off balance from any arm slot, from any footwork, off, you know, running off guys, stepping up into the pocket, getting hit while throwing and still making accurate throws. Like, did I think there was a chance we wouldn't see that anymore? Sure. Did I think that into week 5, with this offense, with his handpicked coach, with a guy he's won MVPs with Lazard, who he's played with an offensive line and a cadence that he's been with all camp long over the course of 2 years, even though he didn't play, did I think I would continually see him as off page with his wide receivers as he is right now? No, I did not. Did I think I would see some of the same mistakes, the delay of game, I know they're forcing it to Garrett Wilson at the start of this game. And that's great. That's great. Right? We've been talking about getting Garrett Wilson involved. But ultimately, they're still not on the same page. There's still so many plays where, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, well, listen, Rodgers was looking for the back shoulder throw there. It's like, and they're just sprinting down the field. How does the offense look like this? I know Rodgers was bad. The interception over the middle sailed on him. Early in this game, he made a bunch of bad throws. He was better in the second half. It's the bad throws I get. We don't typically see them. And as inaccurate as he's been, we don't typically see it. But I can sort of come to my, I can say, look, he's 40, he's rusty, he's banged up a little bit, he sailed a throw. Like, as unlikely as it is to see it as much as we've seen it, I can tell myself, all right, that's part of it. He's got to get better. But the idea that the offense doesn't look like they practice together, I did not think I would see. That I did not expect. Last week, I did not expect all the pre-snap penalties with Aaron Rodgers. I did not see him and his great players. I didn't think I would see a step back from Garrett Wilson. I did not think I would see a step back from Breece Hall. I did not think I would see a step back in overall offensive functioning, which you could argue, other than Thursday, we are seeing the Zach Wilson-led Jets. I did not see that. I did not see that coming. And that, I mean, so we could blame the head coach. Let's blame him. Let's call, and everyone can call up and tell me, Robert Saleh's got to go. I can't watch it anymore. He's a terrible head coach. All he does is wave the pom-poms. I hate his facial expressions. The team continues to get bad penalties. We can give the whole myriad. The flat, they come out flat to start every game. Every one of those things is accurate. Every one of them is accurate. But if you watch these games, whether it's the games they've won or it's the games they've lost, they have been and should have been able to overcome all of that. Now, should they have to? Do you want to have to overcome your head coach? No. No one's saying that. But I'm watching Aaron Rodgers, and I'm watching a player who I cannot believe looks like this. And I don't care he's old. I don't care he's hobbled. It goes beyond that. It goes beyond that. They can't run the football. He's missing, like, I've watched a lot of Aaron Rodgers, right? As much as anyone, with the red zone or whatever, and just Aaron Rodgers played in a ton of games, and he's one of the great quarterbacks, so he's been on prime time all the time. I don't ever remember Aaron Rodgers getting blindsided with a blitz as much as I've seen. And we talked about going in, or at least I did, that I thought it was a good matchup against Minnesota for the specific reason of Minnesota's defense has done a really good job mixing up coverages, throwing exotic blitzes. Flores has done a really nice job confusing young quarterbacks, confusing Daniel Jones in week one. Like, he's done a really nice job with that. I did not expect that to be able to work on Aaron Rodgers. And I don't know if the talent level of Minnesota is all that good. I think they've been really well coached and well prepared, and they throw exotic things at you, and that's how they've been able to work. I did not expect Aaron Rodgers to fall for the same stuff that Daniel Jones fell for week one. I did not expect 3 interceptions. I did not expect still showing the inability to be on the same page with Wilson and Williams and Lazard. Like, I just don't get it. And the fourth, you know, I understand. Listen, they passed up points early on. I like to get the 0 off the board. I didn't think it was a great spot for it. But we talk about being aggressive. I'm not going to kill them for it. What I'm going to kill them for is the play call. Why is your running back 9 yards off the line of scrimmage when you need a yard? Why isn't that free edge guy picked up before he gets to the back in the backfield? Like, these are just textbook things that this team is missing. This is what I didn't expect. Could Rodgers be slow and old in the offensive line and be not good enough to get him banged up and look like he's laboring through a game? Okay, we could have expected that. I did not expect some of the simple, offensive, foundational pieces of being on the same page with your wide receiver, of picking up a blitz, of recognizing a free man when he's gonna be there. Like, these are things I didn't expect. So we can yell about Saleh. He's not good. You can fire and bring in someone else. You can fire Nathaniel Hackett and bring in another offensive coordinator. The leader of this team and the leader of this offense is Aaron Rodgers. And he can preach that people don't believe in him, and he can preach relax, and he can preach he still has faith in this team, and maybe they'll turn it around. But right now, it goes so far beyond rust. It goes so far beyond him getting beat up. It goes so far beyond his Achilles injury. There are fundamental offensive issues that I thought immediately get fixed with Aaron Rodgers. Not that he's old, not that he sailed a throw, not that there's, you know, some, you know, lack of the greatness that once was Aaron Rodgers, because we've seen it. We've seen him not be able to make the perfect throw in the awkward situation like we have year in and year out for his whole career. I could have seen that coming. Throwing balls at people's feet, I didn't necessarily see coming. And throwing balls when the wide receiver runs in the opposite direction, I did not see coming. Robert Saleh is the defensive head coach, and the defense limited in offense, and Sam Darnold, who was the MVP of the league to no touchdowns and a pick. and somehow gave this team opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to get back into this game where they're throwing for the tie late in the game. The defense did its job. This head coach's unit did its job. What the hell is going on with Aaron Rodgers and Nathaniel Hackett? Why can't they have a functioning offense? Why can't they look like they've practiced? Why can't they be on the same page even if they fail? Why are there star players that we put so much credence into playing worse than they did with Zach Wilson? How is that possible? 888-808-1019. I can see it already. Jarvis wants to talk about Saleh needs to go. I get it. I can't argue with you, but it seems like it's number one on everybody's list. It's not one on mine. It's not. What is the head coach going to come in here and do? A head coach is going to come in here and change the fact that Rodgers can't hit his wide receivers? That he's looking for back shoulder throws and they're cutting in? What is the head coach going to do with that? Unless you're going to bring in an offensive-minded head coach to take over the offense. Nathaniel Hackett and Aaron Rodgers are the issue with this team. Robert Saleh is the third issue with this team. 888-808-1019. We'll start with the football. A very impressive performance from the Giants. From the physicality of it, from the ability to bounce back after a 14-point swing, from the ability to the quarterback to adjust to the deep ball, be as accurate and distributed all over the place without his number one target, the defense to get after the quarterback in a way we kind of weren't expecting with this new defensive coordinator, and just an overall impressive road win for a Giants team that felt like they were on life support. And then we get to the Jets, and what can you say? 888-808-1019. We will turn our attentions to the Mets and the playoffs. We'll talk a little Yankees as we preview game two later tonight. And their very solid, very good win in game one. Because I know everyone wants to harp on the negatives. Exactly. Exactly. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you, taking you all the way to 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. Your phone calls next right here on The Fan.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Here's Aaron Boone to lead off. His first at-bat of the game. There's a fly ball deep to left. It's on its way. There it goes. And the Yankees are going to the World Series.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right. 2:33. Maybe I should have started with the Jets and ended with the Giants, and I'd be in a better mood coming out of the break. Because look, I know I'm a Giant fan, and we can get, you know, people get hung up on fandoms. I've been behind the Jets all year. I feel like I'm riding with this thing. I've loved it. I wanted to keep the coach. I wanted to keep Hackett. I wanted Aaron Rodgers just to be completely happy and working with guys that you knew it would work with. People he was comfortable with. And instead, we're seeing this crap. And look, they're going to get him injured because he's getting absolutely killed. Some of it's on him, though. I mean, you got a free guy coming off the side. You cannot turn your back to him. I'm not to knock Daniel Jones because he's been good, but it's Daniel Jones stuff. That's part of the reason I've had an issue with Daniel Jones. We are seeing Daniel Jones negative stuff from Aaron Rodgers. And we are seeing the playmakers on this team that made us excited about it regress with Aaron Rodgers. I never thought that would happen. I thought it would be the exact opposite. I thought you would see Garrett Wilson explode. I thought we would have a monster year from Breece Hall. Instead, Breece Hall looks like a shell of himself. The first couple weeks, all right, he was really involved in the pass game. And now it's just, they can't run the football. They can't block, they can't protect the quarterback. He's completely off page. I got someone tweeting at me about the trip to Egypt. Yeah, I mean, now it looks like, I suppose it looks bad, but, you know, this is week five now. I mean, I don't think a couple of days of camp matter now at this point. You at week one? Yeah. Now this is week five. They've had plenty of time to practice. This is embarrassing. The performance they're giving you is embarrassing. The fact that they still had a chance to win this game is amazing to me. Defense gave you a great performance. They had three turnovers and are still they ended up with the third on the drive, but they had two turnovers heading into and with a chance to throw for the touch for the tie. Like, that's a great job defensively. They did a really good job. But even on the defensive side, even their best player defensively is having his worst year. Gardner's having his worst year. He had a terrible game 2 weeks ago. And he drops an interception you can't drop. It's amazing to me that right now, everything we thought could be positive about this team has turned negative. Everything we thought Aaron Rodgers would help or fix is either still broken or getting worse. It's hard to fathom what's going on with the Jets right now. It is. It's hard to fathom. 888-808-1019. Jarvis in Harlem. What's up, Jarvis?
What's up, Chris? How you doing?
Good, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I want to talk about the Jets. I'm not a Jet fan. I'm a Packer fan. So, I mean, I saw the game yesterday morning. It was ugly, man, because, you know, I know everybody wants to call up and say everybody wants Robinson to get fired, but which I don't think that's going to happen because, you know, who you going to bring in term, put in that Daniel Hackett to take over the term head coach? It's not going to make a difference, cause, you know, because I look at the schedule, because, you know, saying they got the Bills
next,
which they lost by three, and then you got to travel Pittsburgh, which is they lost last night, and then they go at the Patriots in Houston. So they got a brutal schedule. So I don't see them winning the next four games. It's going to be tough.
Well, I mean, I don't know about that. I mean, the Bills are coming off two losses and arguably the worst end to a game I've ever seen. And I'll get to it in a little. The Bills pulled off the dumbest end of a game I arguably have ever seen. I mean, just we've seen terrible mistakes and idiotic play. I don't know if I've ever seen something that made less sense. The Bills are coming off back-to-back losses. And here's the positive for the New York Jets. Since you mentioned the schedule, you're not wrong. Schedule's tough, right? They got the Bills, who are tough and are going to be mad coming off the end of that game and all the ridicule that the coaching staff and the team is going to take and the quarterback is going to take. And we'll get to what the Bills did, but just an embarrassing display in the fourth at the end of this game with 30 seconds left or 40 seconds left in a tie football game. Then they got the Steelers, who just, you know, lost a game that, you know, typically the Steelers don't lose. The Cowboys turned the ball over, and still the Steelers lost in to a Dallas team desperate for a win. But the Steelers are good, especially in Pittsburgh. They play a tough defense. The Patriots are no good. You would hope the Jets could win that game. And the Texans just beat the Bills. Here's the positive for the Jets, though. Yeah, the schedule might be tough, and then you get to the Cardinals and the Colts, and the Cardinals just beat the 49ers and offensively can be dangerous. Right now, you look at the division, and the division stinks. That's the opportunity the Jets have. The Dolphins without Tua are, I know they won the game yesterday against the Patriots. They're terrible without Tua. They're not going to beat anybody of significance. The Patriots are one of the three or four worst teams in the NFL. And I just said the Bills have lost two games in a row and just absolutely pulled a mental rock on the field yesterday. So, I mean, theoretically, they're playing for the division. I would imagine they'll be in first place they win this game next week. So that's the schedule's tough, but the division has fallen to them. What we thought might be a dynamic offensive team in Miami without Tua is a joke. The Patriots stink. And the Bills, who look like a juggernaut the first 3 weeks, just got their ass handed to them by Baltimore a week ago. And yesterday, completely threw away a game against the Texans. So that's the benefit of the Jets. The benefit is, even at 2-3, they're right there in the division. Limo Driver Ed. What's up, Limo Driver Ed?
Hey, what's going on, Phil? How you doing, buddy?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Yeah, but even Quentin Williams, where he been? I haven't heard him at all. He haven't did anything, you know? But like you did say, everybody in the league does screen passes. When you keep getting blitzed like that, get the backs out.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. You know what I'm saying? Throw the ball to the one of the backs.
I feel like that's all they've done, though. Like, earlier in this, I mean, I know yesterday they might not have been as effective at it, but, like, over the course of the year, they don't attack down the field. Aaron Rodgers really isn't throwing the ball down the field. Everything is short. They're getting rid, because they don't trust the offensive line right now. They're getting rid of the ball quickly on almost every play, and it's just like they're out of sorts. Even the screen passes, to your point, they're not being. I thought one of the plays, I think, I can't remember if it was Hall or Allen, but it felt like they took the screen too wide and were almost running backwards, and Rodgers threw it in front of him, and it was a play that has to be made and wasn't made. Like, just everything about this team right now, the offense is sloppy and they're not together at all.
And you know what? Just like you just said, is they're lucky that they're only a game behind right now because of the way the AFC is, the East. They're lucky. But
absolutely.
The thing is, man, it's unexcusable. It makes no sense. Head's got to start rolling. Somebody's got to do something.
Yeah, I don't know what doing it now does. I mean, I honestly don't know. I'm not opposed to it. If we wake up to the news Robert Saleh's been fired, who's going to want to take the job? First off, that's the other thing. Yes, it's Aaron Rodgers, but you're going into Aaron Rodgers' team, right? And unless they're going to fire both him and Hackett and bring in an offensive guy to work with Rodgers, this is going to have to be a conversation that Rodgers is okay with. Like, that's part of it, too. When you make this deal with Rodgers, now you can't. I'm not saying you let him make every decision like it has been perceived inside the organization. At this point, no. If you feel Hackett has to go, I'm okay with making it. But you can't hire someone that Rodgers is diametrically opposed to. Like, you have to work with Rodgers on who comes in. You have to work with Rodgers who the head coach is. Like, Rodgers helps is part of this decision making, and if you think if you think they shouldn't do that, like I don't know how you don't. How do you not bring in the whole? He's going to revolt. Like it's not going to work unless Rodgers is a part of it. You could tell him Hackett has to go. Like, hey buddy, look at what's going on here. It's not working. We have to try something else. But you're just going to force someone on him that he doesn't want to work with. It's not going to work. That's what's it's both, you know, it's a blessing to have him and it's a curse, because if it doesn't, you are in ways kind of at beck and call, at his disposal. You have to, at his mercy, I suppose. Thank you. Like you can't just go around him. You can't. So, and I don't know what firing the head coach now does. And I don't know who you're going to bring in. Who are you going to bring in? You're going to go from within? Can't make Hackett the head coach. I mean, what are you going to do? John in Far Rockaway. What's up, John?
You know, you brought up a good point when you said, what are you going to do? First off, thank you for taking the call. What are you going to do? I mean, I don't know, but I know you can't fire Saleh until the end of the year, first off. Second off, you can't even blame Saleh for this loss because the defense played well.
Yeah, people don't look at it that way because he's the head coach, and I understand everything is under his purview at some point. But we all know who's running the offense. Aaron Rodgers and Nathaniel Hackett are running the offense, and Saleh is running the defense and making in-game decisions on whether to go for it or not. That's on Robert Saleh. Clock management at the end of the half, end of the game, which has been a problem on multiple occasions this season, are under the purview of Robert Saleh. But the problems they had with the pre-snap penalties last week, the inability to be on the same page this week, like, I don't put that at the feet of Robert Saleh. I don't.
No, I don't. And I'll tell you, it is Nathaniel Hackett. But here's where I think the Jets could do a couple of things here. One, which is what I think the only thing you really can realistically do. One, let Nathaniel Hackett go. Maybe promote the quarterback's coach and see if Rodgers could work with them. Simplify the playbook into something that could be effective in the modern day NFL. And the times that the Jets were successful on offense today, it was during the 2-minute drill stuff when Rodgers was calling the plays at the line. If you've seen during the game, Rodgers coming off the sideline and literally cursing out Nathaniel Hackett at one point during the game. I believe it was the third down where they threw it to Conklin. Conklin ends up being short of the first down. Rodgers comes off the field and is screaming at the top of his lungs to Nathaniel Hackett. So maybe that relationship isn't as good.
I don't agree with that. I honestly don't. That's his style. I mean, that's how Rodgers plays the game. And that's how he reacts. I don't think that means it's a bad relationship. I don't think it means that he has a bad relationship with Robert Saleh. I certainly don't think it means he has a bad relationship with a guy he continues to praise. He feels comfortable enough to yell at the guy. Like, they have that kind of relationship. Rodgers is the alpha in the dynamic of the relationship. They yell at each other. He yells at him. Like, that's Rodgers gets mad. Like, I don't think it necessarily means that they're not, you know, on good terms. It means that Robert, he's frustrated and he has no problem yelling at him.
But here's part two. Now, the one thing that I noticed between last year and this year, the difference between the Hackett offense of last year and the Hackett offense of this year, when Zach Wilson saw running lanes, he took them because he was a mobile quarterback. This year, I see so many times where if Wilson were the quarterback, he might have tucked down and ran.
Right.
When instead Rodgers is throwing into double and triple coverage because he doesn't trust that Achilles just yet. Maybe, and I know this is completely unrealistic, but if you see another two or three games from Rodgers like this, maybe throw in Tyrod Taylor for a game and see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I hear about it. I was told, and Lori actually said this to me in the newsroom, that she would play him just to see if you can get Rodgers healthy, because she thinks what you're seeing from Rodgers is just a guy banged up. I would say this. While I don't disagree with your overall point that he would run for more first downs, it's not a winning formula. To say, hey, our offense sucks and we need someone who can run when it breaks down, it's not what I'm playing for. You might be right and it might help them on some level, but it's not going to help them enough to win. Like, the idea of, like, you have to fix it. You can't just say, hey, look, we know that the offense, that no one's going to be open, and maybe when there's a breakdown, there'll be some lanes for running. So let me put in a mobile quarterback. Like, I'd rather figure out a way to make the offense work and have guys open, because we still saw at times Rodgers is capable of the great throw. Like, he's still capable of the great throw. And we have seen him run a little bit. We have seen him run a little bit. You're right, but if it's third and seven and he's not going to try and make the run for it to get 8 yards, like it, unless it's wide open. I agree with you. And on some plays, without question, a mobile quarterback would have helped them. But you can't just say, hey, you know, our best weapon right now is possibly a 6-yard scramble on third and five, so let's go to Taylor. Like, it's just, that's not winning football. It might help you here or there, but it's not winning football. It's not what they're trying to do.
A mobile quarterback's not helping you see the linebacker that intercepted him,
right,
or the safety over the top that intercepted him,
right,
or underthrowing the ball on the right side that got picked. Right?
Right. No, I agree. I mean, but I guess the thought is Taylor wouldn't make those throws. He'd tuck and run. I mean, I guess that's the thought. The thought is Taylor wouldn't try and fit it in because he believes more in his legs than his arms, and he'll go, ah, screw this, I'll just run. Which it doesn't, that's not a recipe for success. And let's be honest, unless he can't play, unless it's a physical thing, I'm not going to anybody but Aaron Rodgers. I traded for a Hall of Fame quarterback. I'm not bringing in Tyrod Taylor because the offense has struggled here. They're 2-3. I can't. It's ride or die with Aaron Rodgers. I mean, there's no option. Even if it's death, you gotta try it. He's the Hall of Famer. Ben in Long Island. What's up, Ben?
What's going on, brother? How you doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. So, yeah, it's just I know what's going to happen this week is the Davante Adams thing. Everyone's going to be so excited. Hopefully we're able to get him and whatever.
Yeah.
But when you look at this team, they're just so poorly coached. And I don't know about you, man. Every time they pan to Robert Saleh and he has that blank look in his face, it's frustrating. It pisses me off. And he does nothing there. He's a rah-rah guy, I guess. When things go well, he's clapping and high-fiving everyone. But when things go well, you can tell he's in over his head. He doesn't have a clue. And it's frustrating. I was saying it to a bunch of my friends and a bunch of other fans. We had an opportunity to fire this guy this past offseason.
Mm-hmm.
And moving forward, like I'm not necessarily surprised that this is the product that we're getting, an undisciplined team, a team that doesn't seem to be prepared in the big moments. And look, I think that's going to continue moving forward.
I mean, listen, good.
Oh, yeah, no, I just don't see this team, even if we get Davante, it's going to be a cool new toy. But I don't see this team winning a meaningful game in December, or if we make the wild card, we make the playoffs. I think we're just going to be exposed again. And
I get do you agree on some level, which I'm not going to try and get you off your Robert Saleh point altogether, but would you agree on some level that he has very little to do with the offense and the offense is run by Aaron Rodgers and Nathaniel Hackett? And that Well, how did his defense play yesterday? How did his defense play against the Minnesota Vikings, who throw 3 and 4 touchdown passes every week, and he limited them to no touchdown passes, and the one score was given up by his offense on an interception pick six, and ultimately he gave this offense time and time and time again an opportunity to go get back into the game or win it. Like, I'm not saying you're wrong about Robert Saleh. I'm just saying we understand what the dynamic of this team is. And ultimately, his defense played great and good enough to win yesterday.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, to me, it's far deeper than Robert Saleh. Like, I shouldn't say far deeper because he's the head coach. It doesn't go much deep. It's more specific to the offense right now. Sure, the defense has had its moments. It got overrun by the 49ers week one. No doubt about it. The defense physically did not have a great game week one. They were overrun by the 49ers offensive line. And the offense and the 49ers and the way they've played since makes that loss look even worse because they have not been able to do that against almost any other team they've played. But besides that, like, that was a winning defensive performance yesterday. They played a Minnesota team that's been kicking the crap out of everybody, and Sam Darnold, who's in the MVP discussion, and shut them down. And gave them time after time after time chances to get back into this game. Turnovers, turnover on downs. Like, they did everything they could to get this offense an opportunity, and the offense couldn't do it. And so when you say they pan over to Robert Saleh, he's got a blank stare. His unit isn't on the field. And I know the better argument is the dynamic that the Jets have, that the coach is not involved in the offense, and the coach is the defensive coordinator, and Aaron Rodgers and Nathaniel Hackett run the show. But they do. And for me, if there's a pecking order of blame, it's not about the dumb faces or the lack of expression he has on his face. It's much more about what the hell is going on with Nathaniel Hackett and Aaron Rodgers. Why is an Aaron Rodgers-led team looking this bad? Like, it's more than just his play. It's the function of the offense. Okay, he's old. Okay, he missed the throw. Okay, he sailed one. It's more than that. They're not on the same page. Let's go to Mark real quick before the break. What's up, Mark? Out in California. Thank you for making the call, buddy.
What's going on? So, I mean, you know what? Daniel Jones right now, man, is looking like 2022 Daniel Jones. Because outside of that,
better
loss to Washington, which we should have won because we just couldn't kick a field goal. He's 4-1 right now. We're 4-2 as a team. The next week we play Cincinnati, who I thought we would get blown out in this game in Seattle. I have Metcalf on my fantasy, and I thought he was going to go off.
Mm-hmm.
And Deontay Banks shut him down. Mind you, he's also fumbled 10 times.
I know, crazy.
Since he's entered the league. It's wide receiver.
Yeah, no, he's got a fumble problem. No doubt.
He's got a big fumbling problem.
He's an explosive player. But yeah, no, the Giants played very well. The Giants and Daniel Jones.
Finally, they got pass rush today. 9 sacks.
Yeah. No, I believe I saw the stat. They lead the NFL in sacks now. Yeah, so, I mean, it's not fine. Last week they did a great job with it too. No, they've done a really excellent job. There's no doubt about it. And Daniel Jones, I would say, is playing better. He's playing better than he did in 2022.
I can't believe he's played better than Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
It's pretty well, man.
Well, and let me just be clear. I got to double check. After the game, the Giants, I don't know what happened last night. But, yeah, no, the Giants currently lead. I'm thinking the Giants with the 9:30 game. I had a mental breakdown there for a second. But, no, 22 sacks leads the NFL.
I wouldn't be surprised if he gets blown out against Cincinnati. If Cincinnati comes to play the way they played against Baltimore today, I don't think we have a chance, without Neighbors or without.
Yeah, I know. Well, hopefully Neighbors will be back. I don't know. But, no, Joe Burrow is playing MVP caliber football. He's been incredible. And, yeah, I'm nervous about that game. But, again, I want to be excited about the Giants and what we've seen. But, for me, the conversation is much more overarching than where they're going to go this year. I want wins. Don't get me wrong. I'm not – this is not tank mode. I know I get there sometimes. I'm not anywhere near there. I want the Giants to go out there and play well and go win the Super Bowl. I just don't think that's possible. I still don't. And in this division, I don't even know. And the tough opponent they're about to play next week and where they are already with the losses. Like, I don't know if they're a legitimate playoff contender. I don't think they are. So when I watch them play like this, I have more of a look towards the future. And they have a serious question about the quarterback. And they have a serious question on what to do with his contract and whether to back out of it now. But he's playing himself into a position where if he wins enough games and plays well enough, he's going to answer the question for them. He's going to answer the question for them because where do you go? If you're drafting somewhere between, you know, in the top half of the league, you're drafting 16, 17, 18, it's impossible to get a quarterback in the draft. So you can forget that. Do you move on from him because you don't like the contract he has and the injury history and go give money to a Sam Darnold and try and win that way or go give money to a veteran quarterback? Maybe, you know, Kirk Cousins and Atlanta doesn't go well this year and they figure out a way out of that contract and play the young quarterback they drafted. I don't know. But I would assume that if he plays well, that they're going to move forward with him. And this was the first game. Coming off that loss to the Cowboys, responding against a good Seattle team on the road and falling behind and having a 14-point swing at the goal line, that is a heartbreaking, back-breaking play for a team in the Giants situation where they're desperate for wins. You know, everything's been going wrong against them for the last 2 years. It felt like, man, we're never going to catch a break. And instead of, you know, crying in their beer, they turned it on and played excellent football. And I thought it was a great day for the coach. It was a great day for the quarterback. And yesterday was the first real game that I thought, well, maybe the future can be. I still don't know if Daniel Jones is a Super Bowl winning quarterback. If you put a unbelievably talented roster around him, maybe. I'm not there yet. I don't, you know, change my core beliefs off of one or two games. It's he's been here for 5 years. I've made a decision on him based on 5 years of information. And off of three good games, I'm not going to fundamentally change my opinion on him. But I have to admit, I'm starting to think that there is light at the end of the Dable Jones tunnel. But we have to see more. But this was the first time where he was making all the throws. He was throwing down the field with accuracy. He lost Neighbors and still went out there and played well. The coach had a great game, a great game plan. What you're supposed to look more prepared than the other team when you have a week and a half. And the Giants did that. So many times we see teams come off that bye or that, you know, half bye, whatever you want to call it, and not look prepared. The Giants had the extra time and showed up and threw a defense at Seattle that completely befuddled them, couldn't run the football, and they got after Geno Smith, and he didn't know what to do. And even though it came down to a blocked field goal, and then you make the great play on special teams too. Like, it was complimentary football in every facet of the word. Like, they did a great job. And I feel a hell of a lot better about the coach and quarterback situation than I did even a week ago when Daniel Jones played fairly well. 888-808-1019. We'll still take your football calls. We will transition to the baseball, obviously, as the New York Mets are in a series now. with the Philadelphia Phillies tied at one after another just incredible moment and disbelief of how this team continues to come back. But ultimately, they fall short to the Phillies, and they are tied at 1-1. The Yankees will play tonight, Game 2, after a Game 1 that I thought was very important, and specifically how it went down I thought was very important, and we'll get to that as well. But we'll start with the Met conversation next. We'll still take your calls on the Giants and Jets as we take it till 5 o'clock here on The Fan. McMonagle with you. We'll be right back.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.